in about 2010, my wife and I, it was our last year we were running our youth. And it was on a Friday night. And I used to find that, you know, I'd come to work at, it was about 8:30-ish. And then I'd go right through and we'd be running youth in the evening and we'd go through to about 10 o'clock. And I was by that time I was so exhausted that by 10 o'clock I was really gone. And so one week I thought, what am I going to do this Friday? What can I do to break up my day? And so I thought, I need to have a good break in the middle. So I decided that I would bring my bike, right, and leave it here and go for a ride at lunchtime, make a time and go, bang, that's it, I'm out of here, and just get some nice, beautiful, fresh air. So around about lunchtime, it was just, things were just too busy with port care going on, with pastoral care and many other things happening. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to have to leave it, you know. And so around about 5 o'clock, my opportunity came. I thought, oh, it's a really great time right now to go for my bike ride. So I got on my bike and I rode down towards the chimney stack. There was a no-through road there, and there was a ute, and there was a man sitting in the ute, and he had there was two suitcases in the back, and he was just sitting there, kind of like he was having a nap. So I thought, oh, gee, that's really odd. And so anyway, I kept riding, and I headed further south to Coogee, and as I'm riding, and I'm just talking to the Lord, and just enjoying the ride, enjoying the beautiful beach and the beautiful fresh air. I started to think about this gentleman, and I thought, oh, on my way back, if he's still there, I'll stop and say hello to him. And so I did that. So on my way back, I came back and I went around and I went down to the chimney stack, and he was still there. And I thought, oh, gee, he's still here. So he was actually asleep at this point, so I went to his car door and I tapped on his window. He was got quite alarmed and shocked and, oh, g'day, are you okay? And yeah, I'm just staying here the night. So, oh, right, okay. And so I began to just, I'm quite inquisitive, so I just began to connect with him and chat with him. And asked what's been happening, how come you've got nowhere to stay, and where he stayed. The relationship went downhill, and he had to leave. And so I said, so do you have children? Yeah, I've got kids, but I don't see them. And one's got a child, I've got a grandson, and so on and so on. And as I began to talk more and more with him, he began to tell me that was his last night. His plan was to be there, and he was going to wait till dark, and he was going to slash his wrist. He had knives with him, and he was going to end his life. He said, oh, I'm done. I'm finished. And so I began to talk to him about the Lord and began to encourage him, began to just instill in him that it's not the way to go. Began to build hope in him, and he began to respond. And so I just did all that I could do to get this guy's tires, get his heart pumping for life again. And so I had to leave. By then it was probably about 7 o'clock. And as I was leaving, I remember my wife calling me saying, youth is going to be on in 30 minutes. You better get here. You know? Yeah. I'm busy, but I'll be there. Don't worry. And so and he did all that I could. And I was really quite satisfied. Had a real just contentment in my heart that this guy was going to be okay. And so, I rode back, had a shower, got ready for youth, and so on. And I remember that the following morning, I rode, I went back there, to see if he was still there, and he was gone. And so, praise God. And I just believe that he went on to live his life, whatever and however that may be. And so my scripture this morning, one of them, is found in Proverbs. And it's chapter 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And as I began to ponder about this morning, I began to just wait on God. I just felt the Lord encouraged me to talk about hope, to encourage us this morning, to encourage us in God. You know, maybe some of us here this morning are just struggling with life. Maybe you don't want to do away with your life, but just maybe there's some dreams, there's some hopes, there's some desires that are just not happening for you. Maybe it was a dream job, and you're maybe one of the last five to be put on, and you're the first five to get put off, and all of a sudden you're no longer in that dream job. Maybe for you it might be your marriage, and your marriage is on the rocks, and you are struggling with your marriage, and you just can't see, you just can't see light. You're going, I don't know what to do here. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am going to go with this. And so maybe it's your business. Maybe it's something that has occurred a long time ago. One of the most devastating things, I think, is the breaking of a marriage. It is. I've talked to many men and women who have gone through that, and that's so wounding and so hurtful that it's like, and they've said to me, I will never ever do this again. I know a gentleman in the community who has become quite a good friend of mine, and he was so devastated that his marriage just fell to pieces, and he had two children, and you know, the wife's side of the kids' side of the wife because of what she said, blah, blah, blah. And he felt that, gee, these kids see me as a monster, as a bad husband, and so on and so on. Many of you know and hear stories like that. And of course, and it can be vice versa. It's not all just the one way. And I remember sharing with him saying, it will turn. Don't go thinking that your kids will forever think like this, even though this is what she's instilling them. They will grow up, and there will be a time they will turn, and they will see things for what it's really like. And sure enough, about 6-7 years later, things started to turn. He started to have a great relationship with his kids, and they're going on really, really well today. But hope is something we have just got to live for. We, as many of us here today, are believers. Maybe today you've just walked in here and you're not sure about who this Jesus is, what your hope is all about. But just be open today and let God touch your life, and he will minister to you. Last week, my wife called me and said, oh, honey, I've booked us. We're going to the movies. I said, oh, okay, fantastic. Yep, I'm up for that. And so she took me to go and see the movie Unbroken. Anybody seen that? Anybody seen Unbroken? Good movie. Angelina Jolie directed this movie, and it's about this. It is wartime. He was an Olympian runner, and very good at it. And he went on a mission on the plane to look for a lost plane with all his comrades. And they while they're searching, the plane started to drop out of the sky. Lost the left motor. Then the other motor went, and they lost control, landed in the ocean. Many of them died. Three of them survived. Three survived. And Louis got to the boat and paddled over to where the other two were, got them in, and they're in the boat, and they're just thankful. Two of them are thankful that they're alive, but one of them looks around, can't see land, nothing, can't see anything. But all he can see is no future. We're gone. We're finished. We are going to die out here. This is the end of the rope for us. And Louis says to him, shut up. We are not going to die. We are going to live. We're going to survive. We're going to make this. They were in the boat for 43 days before they got rescued. And unfortunately, the gentleman that was quite negative, he did not survive. He passed away. And then the movie went on how that they got rescued by a Japanese ship, and they got put in a POW, and then they had to get through that, which was really, really quite scary. Many years ago, there was Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was an Auschwitz prisoner. And he was in the WWT World Camp, World War II prison camp. And when he left, he survived it. He was interested in why some people survived in the camp and why others did not. And he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he found that the findings were that people that lost hope in their future, they were the ones that deteriorated, and mentally and physically they deteriorated and passed away. But men and women that saw a future, saw ahead, that they would survive. And I remember this young man, Louis, would talk to his friends on the boat. He'd say, guys, when we get out of this, you're going to come to my mum's place and we're going to have gnocchi. My mum's going to make this homemade gnocchi. And he was building them up that they're going to make this, and they're going to make it out alive, and so on and so on. And so today, what our future is in Christ. Now, 2014 years ago, this little baby that was born, he wasn't just a baby born in an inn, in a barn, and he just wasn't, he's not just a baby. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this young baby. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These qualities describe who Jesus Christ is to you and I. Wonderful Counselor. I can just stop at the word wonderful. Wonderful. In Hebrew, the word wonderful is a supernatural act of God. And the supernatural act of God to send his son Jesus Christ upon the earth for us is amazing and a wonderful act of the living God. And for you and I today, Jesus is a free gift for us. And sure, there is a response from us. I listened to a lady during the week who gave a testimony of how she was in the middle of in a grave, sinful state. And she said that in that state, she knew that God loved her. She could sense the love of God upon her. But she was still in sin. The issue was, will you love God how he wants you to love him? And her comment was that she had to come to God and give all of her heart to him. All of it. Every part of her, she had to surrender to the Lord Jesus. And so she did. And as she surrendered to him, she found his wonderful, wonderful love. And he set her free and gave her purpose and gave her hope. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He doesn't need advisors. He doesn't need people to counsel him. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. You know, one of the greatest things you could do for yourself when you first come to know Christ is to understand and know who he is. One of the major things I did, because I had lots of questions. I didn't have all the answers. But I know that as I went, as the church put on basic foundation courses, I went. When we had young adult camps, I went. And man, it was just amazing. It was just wonderful. God would answer a lot of my questions. He would build some amazing foundations in my life that will keep me in good stead forever. Forever. And I know next week, can I just say, next week, Alpha is beginning here at 9 o'clock. If you're feeling stale, and you're a new believer, and you could be in church for many years, but hey, and you're lacking in reading the scripture, you need to get to this course. It doesn't cost anything, I believe. You need to get to it. We need to build that foundation in our lives. He is a wonderful counselor. God loves you. He loves you. But you've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, I love pistachio ice cream. I just love it. Now, if I said to you, if I could describe it to you, but you wouldn't have a clue what it tastes, you have no idea, because you're only going by what I'm telling you. But once you taste it, you go, oh, now I know what he's talking about. Jesus is the same. You can have all the head knowledge about God and about Jesus, but if you haven't engaged and given him your heart and allowed the wonder of his grace and his love into your life, well, that's all it will ever be, is just head knowledge. And no heart knowledge, no heart connection with Christ. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that he is good. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. What a wonderful quality. You can put your hope in him, that he is a mighty God, that he is on your side, that he is sovereign over your life. Things don't happen by accident. Some things do happen by accident. Some things do happen. There is times in life you'll experience the ugly side of life. It happens. Does that shock God? Does God go, oh my God, Charlie's just had a car accident, quick. Let's get the angels down. No, it's okay. God's not surprised. He is a mighty God. I have seen, when I went on a mission trip to China, I've seen the mighty acts of God. I've seen the mighty acts of God here. I've seen a blind man healed. He is a mighty God. In Liberia 2 years ago, I seen some amazing things. some mighty things that God is doing, and he is still doing them today. You know, God wants to be with you. It's not only he just wants to save you so you go to heaven, but he wants you to have an abundant life here on this earth. I remember one time I was vacuuming my car, just vacuuming, and I began to sense the presence of God while I'm vacuuming the car. I'm thinking, ooh. Vacuuming, you know, began to slow down a bit and kind of started to get a bit inquisitive. Lord, what? Lord, what? Because I'm listening. I'm going, what, Lord? Thinking he's going to give me some direction to go somewhere, do something, talk to someone. What? Turn everything off. I just stop and I'm, God, what is it? And the Lord impressed upon my heart that it's all good. I'm just wanting you to know that I'm with you. I'm just hanging out with you. I'm there. And I was a bit like, oh, wow. There was nothing that was required of me, just to, he said, he enjoyed my presence. He was just loving on me. He is a mighty God, and he wants to be with us. I've had my back healed. God has saved my two brothers from death, and I know it's because of the prayers. I've seen marriages saved. I've seen where there's been barren in marriages, where people have wanted children. And I've seen God through prayer bring that to pass many times. The mighty things I've seen God do at C3 Fremantle, at Port Care, Southeast Asia. What I've seen occur in Uganda, in Rwanda. And the other, another third quality of God, he's the everlasting Father. Ha ha. Oh, the everlasting Father. What an amazing Father he is. He is an amazing Father. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You know, I can try and be the best father I can for my kids. And I'm a good father. But let me tell you, I get it wrong. I get angry, and, you know. But God, he is just amazing. Everlasting, forever and ever, throughout the whole of eternity. The story about this woman who gave her testimony during the week, what shocked her and woke her up was that when her mother died, and she had to organize a funeral, and her grandmother was still alive, and the grandmother had to move in with her. And when she had to organize a plot for the funeral, she also organized a plot for herself and for her grandmother. And when she looked in the plot, she realized it's not about today, but it's about eternity. Oh my God, when I die, what's going to happen to me? Oh my God, what have I done with my life? Oh my Lord. Oh my God. Seriously? Just in this hole? Oh my God. Now, before all of us today, we have eternity before us. What are we doing? What are we doing? In Hebrews, it talks about loving righteousness and hating iniquity. Don't love sin. That's only for a short time. Life is gonna pass you by, and God is holy. We serve a holy God. He is holy. And he requires us to walk in holiness. The word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Choose. He is our everlasting Father. You can put your hope upon him. You can put your hope, your faith in him. You can. It's not the end. I waited 20 years for one desire to occur, 20 years for one dream. When I was 40, I seen it come to pass. 20 years praying. And probably I reckon about after the eighth year, I reckon God said, and I could tell that, okay, that's it. And I didn't even pray for a long time anymore. And God opened the door. And I saw and I touched the fulfillment of that dream. But I've got more dreams. There are some things that have flickered in the distance. I've gone, oh God, Lord, when am I going to see that? But how many? 53? I reckon I'm going to live to 100. I do. I reckon I will live to 100. Now, if something happens before that, it's okay. It's all good. If I don't, that's okay. But that's what I'm aiming for. What dream, music team, you can come up? What is it for you? Maybe you're struggling just to find that hope, that light to flicker. Can we sing that that first worship song you sang about hope in the Lord? Just slowly, lightly. Not right now, but just build it up. You know what? You know, many of us have experienced disappointment. Have I ever experienced disappointment? Yes. Are there some dreams in my life I haven't seen come to pass? Yes. Have I ever shed tears through pain and heartache? Yes, I have. Maybe for you it's a relationship that's gone sour and you are just struggling to get breath. You're like, man, I don't know where to turn, I don't know where to go. But this morning, I want you to say, my hope is in you. Is in you, Lord Jesus. The other fourth quality is he is the Prince of Peace. Peace. Oh, the Prince of Peace. How many times there has been when I first came to Christ and I got ridiculed and they bagged the church, they bagged the people to go to the church, they bagged everything. I thought, I got confused. And I thought, wow, maybe they're right. I didn't know because I was only just maybe 2 weeks knowing the Lord. But I remember standing. I remember praying, saying this. I remember saying, they can say what they like, but you can't take Jesus off me. Jesus, I have experienced him. I've met him. I have the wonder of his love in my heart. And that was my hope in Christ. Then I remember that either the next day we had a Bible study, big youth group, and it was a young adult group, and we met at the church. And as soon as I walked into the house of God that night, I just sensed the presence of God. And some of that confusion, some of that stuff just subside. Hey, we're real people. God wants you to be real.